So this morning we're going to take another verse, and we're just going to look at that. Actually, a couple verses. Going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verses. Let me see. 25 through 34. And how I came about this, I was at work, and it was on, actually changed what I was going to do. I had something different, and I'm still working on that one, but I was at work on Wednesday, and someone who is a believer, I believe her to be a believer. They choose to worship a little different, I think, than we do, but she had been, she's the supervisor of the hospital at night, and she talks about her faith often. She had talked about the election often, and she mentioned, she came up to me on Wednesday, and she said, well, what do you think about the election? And, you know, she was obviously for one side, and had always been, you know, had been for one side during the election. And I'm pretty much the same with me, and that, you know, this is not the form to give who you're for the election. But I said, I tell you what, it really doesn't matter to me, because the Lord is on His throne, and it just, you know, I wanted to do some verses about just to remind us that. You know, we have the financial difficulties right now, or, you know, so-called financial difficulties. I don't think, you know, it's hit us really hard. As far as I'm concerned, if gas is low, my economy's doing pretty well. But there's all these pressures from the world that we get, and sometimes we get nervous about who's in power. We get nervous about our retirement, or we get nervous about things, but we forget that God, He's known this. He wasn't, I mean, while we were watching Fox News or whatever, He already knew what was going to happen. He already ordained what was going to happen. It's not something that was a surprise to Him. The Lord is on His throne. And let's just take these verses. Matthew 6, starting in 25. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I looked up this word thought. It's used six times here. It's used another time later in Matthew chapter 10. And in the Greek, let me see, it's this word, take no thought. And it uses it six different times here. The word thought in the Greek was to be anxious about, to take thought, or to take care of. And, you know, I love our King James translation, to take thought. I like that word the best, how the inspired, how it was inspired and translated into our English. Take thought. I mean, we're not supposed to take any thought about it other than, I mean, when the Lord teaches us to pray, He teaches us to pray for our daily bread. We don't pray for things way down the road. And sure, we should plan and be responsible, but He teaches us to pray for His will first, and then we pray for our daily bread. What we need for tomorrow. I mean, we shouldn't take thought of anxieties and things coming in because He's in control. We need to have things in the right perspective. Our perspective should be on the heavenly things and spiritual things, not on our flesh and fleshly things. Because when we trust in what we can see, it's very limited to what God can actually do. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for. I mean, we still pray for things. The Lord has His means, and He uses us, and He uses our prayers, and He has involved us in this, in working out His sovereign will, and we should pray for things. I came to the verse. You know, we should, no matter who's in power, what the majority is in the House or Congress, who's president, is, you know, as much, if you have strong feelings or not, turn to 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, and this is familiar to a lot of us. And this is Paul, and he says here, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So it's no matter who's in power. I mean, Paul, this doesn't transfer over completely the application, but if you look during biblical times and you look at that scene where Stephen is having this, he's given this sermon and he's going back through all, you know, he's cutting down the self-righteousness of these Pharisees, and he's going through, he's just showing this amazing knowledge of history. And you have Paul over here, and he's condoning the persecution, and if you looked at things in our own wisdom, you would think that Paul was probably going to be the one to end up he was going to be the one to end up in utter destruction, and Stephen might be the one to be the great missionary and the one to pass on the word. I mean, that's our limited understanding, but God has plans, and God had a different plan for that situation. He had that Stephen was going to be the first martyr. I mean, we can't choose. We need to let God choose, and we need to trust in what the Lord chooses. And I understand that, and that was a call to ministry. It has nothing to do with who He chooses for our government, but He does choose who we have in our government, and He does choose who rules over us. And we need to pray for them, and we need to just pray that there would be you know, talk about change, but we would like, you know, for people to be changed to realizing who's really in control, and that God is what we want to change for in all of our society. That's the only thing that's going to change anything is if we're a light in this world and we teach others about Christ. There's a picture, and we sing this here as a scripture verse, and I love singing it. Isaiah 9:6, and the very next verse, 9:6, and you know, you go to 9:7. Okay, starting in 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So, the Lord is on His throne. We have a government, and our government is in the promise that the Lord has given us, and He's put someone on that throne of David, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will everlastingly be on that throne. And that's our government. Not condoning anarchy or anything else, but we need to have things in perspective. Like I said, we have a leader, and we need to trust in our true leader, and trust that he's working things out for his purpose and for those who love him, and those he's called. And we need to, you know, as far as anxiety, we need to really fear what is real. If you want to fear something, fear the Lord. I mean, fear the one who can take your soul. I mean, let's go to Proverbs 1:7, and this is familiar to most of us as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The thing we really need to fear is the Lord, and His judgment, His holiness, and we should fall on our knees and thank Him for the grace and mercy that He shows us, because the reason that the fear of the Lord, I believe, is the beginning of knowledge, because it's what is real. This world is, and the fleshly things are not real. You're foolish if you think that all this that's going to pass away, even us as a vapor, is what's important. Real knowledge is knowing what's tangible, and what's tangible are the things that are everlasting. Matthew 10:28. Sorry to have everybody flipping around. Starting in verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are the more valuable than many sparrows. It just puts it into perspective that the Lord, what's the most important thing to you, whether you know it or not, the most precious thing that you have is your soul. And I mean, talking about you, I mean, the most precious thing we have as Christians is our Savior, and he has taken our soul, and he has paid the price for our soul. We don't need to. What we have here is just going to pass away. You know, I deal with it's already passing away. I deal with, you know, as a nurse, I deal with things every single day, and I see just how the body is just—it's just passing away. You start—they say you start dying when you hit 25. I mean, I'm not trying to depress anybody, but up until 25, your body's still forming and it's growing, and it's—you know—your cells are—you're still reproducing cells after that, but your body actually starts to deteriorate and die when you hit about 25, physiologically. So it's already passing away, and it's. You know, but your soul is going to be, the Lord says, is always going to be there. It, no matter which way, you know, it goes, it's going to be there. So we need to really pay attention to what the Lord is saying in His Word, and we need to, and I wrote this down. I mean, this is a little. I mean, it's not really silly, but I mean, it sounds like some. Anyway, I'll just say it. If you look over in Revelations 20:11, it says. Over in Revelations 20:11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was no place found for them." And he's talking about those that don't know Christ, and we need to fear that judgment, the great white throne, and those that there's no place found for them. And you know, the silly part was, I wrote this down. I said, don't fear those who sit in the White House. Fear the one who's on the great white throne. We don't need to worry about who's in the White House or who's in power. We need to worry about who's really in power and who's really over this world and who's been set on that throne above this world. And I just want to go really quickly to. Let's see. There is a. This is from Morning and Evening. And it's actually. Sometimes I skip around in this a little bit. So this is January 29th. And I just. This is, you know, of course, Spurgeon wrote this. And it's just. You know, on the other side of it. Those of us who are Christians and we know Christ, we have a wonderful hope in our Lord, and we're waiting for that inheritance to wit. We're waiting for that adoption to wit, and for that day when we will be reunited with our Savior. And I just wanted to read this. Okay, and this is the verse here connected to it is 2 Corinthians 4:18, and it's just a piece of that verse, and it says the things which are not seen, and Spurgeon says here, in our Christian pilgrimage, it is well for the most part to be looking forward. Forward lies the crown, and onward is the goal. Whether it be for hope, for joy, for consolation, or for the inspiring of our love, the future must, after all, be the grand object of the eye of faith. Looking into the future, we see sin cast out, the body of sin and death destroyed, the soul made perfect, and fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Looking further yet, the believer's enlightened eye can see death's river past, the gloomy stream forded, and the hills of light attained on which standeth the celestial city. He seeth himself enter within the pearly gates, hailed as more than conqueror, crowned by the hand of Christ, embraced in the arms of Jesus, glorified with him, and made to sit together with him on his throne, even as he has overcome and has sat down with the Father on his throne. The thought of this future may well relieve the darkness of the past and the gloom of the present. The joys of heaven will surely compensate for the sorrows of earth. Hush my fears, this world is but a narrow span, and thou shalt soon have passed it. Hush, hush, my doubts, death is but a narrow stream, and thou shalt soon have forded it. Time, how short, eternity, how long, death, how brief, immortality, how endless. Methinks I even now eat of Aeschylus clusters, and sip of the well, which is within the gate. The road is so short. I shall soon be there. And I just love the hope in that we're looking forward to reality. We're still and things are real here. He calls us. We need to be out. We need to remember while we're here what we're waiting for, and we need to have a burden for those who don't have that yet. Who we need to go out and minister to, because although the Lord is sovereign and He has chosen His, that's we don't know who they are. We need to go out and minister to them, and we need to go present this word to them. How, you know, And if rejected, then wipe the dust off your feet and go to the next person. That's what we need to do. And that's what, you know, I say that, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do more. You know, everybody could do more. And what the Lord has done for us should be a great encouragement to us to do more where we are for our children and for those we meet every day in our workplace and just those around us. We need to have a burden for the reality of things, you know. And if the Lord has given us a great opportunity and who He's put in this government for people to talk, and you know, it could open up conversation. We could say, you know, just like that woman that came to me, you know, the other day, the supervisor, and she said, you know, it was a great opportunity to just say the Lord is on His throne. I'm not worried about. You know, she was very, very worried about who was elected president and who was in the Congress and everything that's going to go on. And I just know the Lord's going to work it out, and he's going to work it out for His kingdom and for His glory. And that's what I have for today. Hope it's not too short, but all right, let's pray. Go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can put all our trust in You, Lord. We fear Your holiness, Lord. We fear that if we came in Your presence, Lord, we couldn't even look upon Your face, Lord, because of Your righteousness. We just pray, Lord, that You would help us to fear the things of God, Lord. And then, Lord, through Christ, Lord, it's just amazing that you bridged that gap, Lord, and You took us in, Lord, and You made us joint heirs with Christ, Lord, and You made us Yours. It's just unfathomable, Lord, that You would even, someone we can't even look upon would look upon us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to remember these things, Lord, in our daily. It's so easy to forget, Lord, and the adversary comes and he tries to snatch away our confidence, Lord, in little bits. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember the things that aren't seen, Lord. Help us not to look at our, always be worried about what's coming next or what doesn't, if our finances don't exactly meet what we have to make it, Lord. We know that You can bridge that gap too. Or if we're worried about if we're worried about our children, or if we're worried about illness or sickness, Lord, just pray, Lord, that we would remember how You taught us to pray, Lord. Thy will be done. Give us our daily bread, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your word, and that it reassures us, and that You have given us a wonderful gift in it, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.